Welcome back, everyone. Nice to learn with you. Parsha explorations for Parsha Tzriya. Just going to share my screen with you, and we'll get right into it. Here we go. It is slowly loading. There we go. Miraculous. We're off to a good start. Okay. Hope you can see pretty clearly. Parsha Tzriya is pretty succinct in that they're not that short, not that long, and also there aren't that many topics. The first topic discussed in the Parsha is the topic of childbirth, and specifically two topics. One is the ritual impurity, the tumma associated with a woman who gives birth and the karbanos that she brings. And snuck into there is the mitzvah of milah, the mitzvah of circumcision. So I wanted to discuss that for just a few moments with you. First, we have a fascinating comment here by Rashi at the very beginning of the Parsha. Rashi quotes Rabbi Simlai, who says, Amar Rabbi Simlai, Kishem shiyitziraso achar kol behema v'chaya b'maaseh b'rishit, just as the creation of humanity followed the creation of every other animal, both domesticated and wild animal, in the story of creation, meaning to say the animals and the birds and the grass, etc., they're all created in the first days of creation. And Adam and Chava, the first humans, are created at the end of the sixth day of creation. So humans are the last to be created. Kach Torah, so too regarding the law of all these different beings, Nishparsha Achar Toras Behema Chaya V'Of, it is explained after the laws governing the animals, meaning to say, Parsha Shemini, last week's Torah reading, ends with a description of the laws of Kashrus, Zos Toras Achaya, which animals we can eat, which animals we cannot eat. So that describes the laws, the Torah regarding the animals. So, and this week's Parsha discusses the law regarding humans. We don't eat humans, obviously, so it's not going to discuss the laws of eating humans, but it discusses the laws of childbirth, what happens when someone gives birth to a human. So Rashi makes this connection, just like when the Torah described the creation of the world and all the various creatures, and humans were the last to be created. So too, when the Torah discusses the laws of these various creatures, and particularly the animals, the birds, etc., the last to be discussed are the laws of humans. So says Rashi. Baral points out it's a bit of a peculiar Rashi and a peculiar line by Rabbi Simlai in the Medrash, because when you look at the reasoning for why it is that humans are created last, suggested by the Gemara, the reasoning does not seem to be applicable. So I shared this Gemara with you. Let's learn it together. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught. You see the English there, hopefully. Adam Nivra Be'erev Shabbos. Humans were created on Shabbos Eve, the sixth day of creation. Mifne Ma, why? So one answer is, Shelo Yehu Aminim Omrim Shutuf Hayelo Akash Baruch Hu Masa Bereishis, so that the heretics shouldn't say that God had a partner in creating the world, right? Meaning, if Adam and Chava had been created on day three, so maybe people would say, you know, Adam and Chava, these humans, they are very impressive, they're very intellectual, they're very powerful. I think that they helped God create the world. You know, maybe they helped him out with the birds or the animals, etc. So no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put humans last, so no one has such a thought. That's one answer of the Gemara. Davar acher shem tazuach daito olav, another reason why humans were created last, because if a person gets a bit haughty, you know, oh, I think I'm really great. Look at me, I'm a human. Look at all these skyscrapers I've built, and I'm here on a computer. What an incredible accomplishment. Humans are amazing. So a person gets too haughty, omer lo yatosh kadamcha b'masa b'reishis, the flea was created for you, before you. You were created last. Don't get so high on yourself. Okay, davar acher, kidei shikanes l'mitzvah miyad. Alternatively, that he should get right into the mitzvah, meaning to say, the fur, what happens right after Adam is created? Shabbos. Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos. So a person is created, they already begin mitzvos. Davar acher, one other opinion in this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kadeshi Yikonis Lesuda Miyad, that he should enter the banquet right away. Meaning to say, when Adam and Chava were created, the entire world was ready. It was prepared. Everything had been put into place. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Adam and Chava so that they are ready to enter a complete world. Gives a mashal. Mashal HaMelech Basar V'dam, like a king of flesh and blood. Shabana Paltirin, he builds a palace. And he makes it nice. V'hiskin suda, then he makes the banquet. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guests in this world. We're his honored guests. Hashem made his palace. He made the banquet. And then he made Adam and Chava. The point of this all is to say that there are various reasons suggested for why humans were created last. Do those reasons apply to our Torah reading this week, in which the laws governing childbirth are listed after the laws governing which animals you can eat? Doesn't seem to be so applicable. So the Maharal therefore asks, I don't understand. Rosh, you're telling me the reason that humans are created last and the laws of Adam, Torah Sa'adam, laws governing humans is discussed last is because of the same thing, but they're not. None of those reasons are applicable. Take a look at the Maharal. Says the Maharal, Afagav the Gabe Bria Mefarish Gemara, Shemiska Adam Ormlo Afil Yitosh Kedamcha, even though regarding the creation story, the Torah Gemara gives us a reason why humans are created last. So they shouldn't, so that they should say, even the fleas were created before you, as we discussed. And there are other reasons. In King Kasha, Kevin to Osan to Amim, Lo Shayachin Khan. Since the reasons discussed in that Gemara are not relevant to our discussion, in King Betarasa, Lama Makdin, Behemah Vachayav, Ova Torah, Adam, then why discussing the Torah of humans and animals is not the, the Torah of humans first? And he says, Dochag Lomar, Ayi Demakdin, Beatzira Makdin, Non Betor. Don't tell me, well, they're not really the same reason, but since in creation, humans are last, so too in the Torah, humans are last. There's no real relevance, number one. Number two, Lashon Kishem Mamash Malchi. Rav Simlai said Kishem in the same way. So then there must be some commonality. And here's all of that introduction is for this beautiful point in the Maharal. Beautiful point. Really something worth thinking about for a very long time. Letting it resonate with you. Says the Maharal, V'yesh Lomar Degam Torah San Eich Yihyu Mista Nagim Hudavar Domet Libriya. Says the Maharal, don't separate between the creation of man and the Torah of humanity. Also, the Torah, the way in which humans ought to act in this world, that is also a form of creation. Kamosha Briyahi Tikunam, just as the creation of Adam and Chava, the creation of humans, is their preparation to live in the world. Hachanami Torasam hi tikunavayasam. So too the Torah governing humanity is their preparation. It's the completion of their coming into being. Lakach, Kishem Shemakten Brivriya Chayava Ocho, Sachanami Mitorason. So too, just as in creating the animals and birds, they were before humans, so too in their law, De'ein HaTorah Ela Gemar Tikunam. The Torah is nothing other than the completion of their preparation. Maharal is telling us, Torah is creation. Learning Torah, engaging in Torah is creation. It is a creative activity. And then he quotes the famous comment of Chazal that the sixth day of creation is Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, and it's a reference to the sixth of Sivan, the day on which the Torah was given, as if to say that the entire creation was hanging in the balance until the Jews received the Torah. All that is to say that our physical creation is not the only component of our creation, but there is a spiritual element to our creation. There is the people we ought to be, the potential we have. And what Torah is our tool to recognizing and reaching and realizing that spiritual potential. Therefore, the Torah is also an act of creation. Who are you creating when you learn Torah, when you engage in Torah? You are creating yourself. We're getting closest to realizing the best version of yourself. That's the Torah Sa'adam, similar to the Bria Sa'adam. That's Torah as creation from the Maharal. Another point I wanted to mention in this first part of the Parsha is, as I mentioned, the mitzvah of Milah. It's kind of odd. Milah, circumcision, is a very important mitzvah. We make a big celebration when a boy gets a bris milah. And yet the Torah sort of sneaks in the mitzvah here in the context of another discussion. Yes, the Torah already discussed how Hashem gave Avraham Avinu originally the mitzvah of Milah. However, it is not given to Klal Yisrael as a nation until Parshas Tazria. And how so? In the context of discussing how a woman is impure after giving birth, there's a whole process, and it says that 7 days she's impure, and on the eighth day, if she has a boy, then he should circumcise the flesh of his arla, the flesh of his foreskin. Well, you're kind of stooping it in here. What is the purpose of specifically discussing the mitzvah of Milah in the context of Tum'as Leida, in the context of the ritual impurity associated with childbirth? Two ideas I'd like to share with you briefly. The first is that of the Bechor Shor, and many before Hashem were talking about this idea. I think it's a very beautiful idea. Says the Bechor Shor as follows in source number 4. Amar Rav Shimon, Mifnei Ma Amru Mila Bishmini Velo Bishishi Velo Bishvi'i. Why is the mitzvah of Bris Mila, circumcision, on the 8th day, not the 6th or the 7th day? Shelo Yehu HaKol Smeichem. So that not everybody else should be happy. Shayom Mila Simchahu. For the day of Mila is a celebration. Parenthetically, that's an interesting comment in its own right, as on the one hand, certainly there is a celebration to Mila. On the other hand, we don't make Shehecheyanu. We don't make a bracha of Shehecheyanu according to Ashkenazic custom on the mitzvah of Mila because of the pain of the child. But that being aside, so the Medrash says Mila is happy. It's a celebration. K'desiv sas tanochel al rasecha va'aviv imo atzeven. And yet the parents are sad. Sha'asurin zel v'zeh. They are forbidden to each other. Again, because according to Torah law, for the first 7 days after a woman gives birth to a child, to a male child, to a son, she is tameh, she is impure, and she cannot live with her. She cannot live with her husband. They cannot be with one another intimately, and that's kind of sad. So the Torah is sensitive to that. That it would be inappropriate for everybody else to be celebrating and Mazel Tov and having a great bris milah while the father and the mother are a little bit down because they have to separate from one another. Therefore, aval b'shmini mutar on the 8th day, at least biblically, not rabbinically, our custom is to wait much longer. But on the 8th day, according to the Torah, she can already go to the mikvah on the night, seventh on the night during the nighttime after 7 days, and then they're pure. So again, it's an involved sort of discussion, but I think the idea is very touching. The Torah said, give the milah on the 8th day because it wants the father and the mother to be able to fully celebrate. And even though they're probably already pretty happy they had a boy, they're doing the mitzvah of milah, but there's something a little bit off, something a little bit disappointing on while they're having the celebration that the woman is impure and they can't be together. So the Torah waits until the 8th day, so when she can already go to the mikvah and become pure, and then they can have the milah. It's a certain Musar Haskel that we ought to be sensitive to these things, these little things. A person, we want to celebrate with someone, but there's something off. Something seems a little bit off, to be sensitive to that, to be in touch with. What might make this the most meaningful for the person I am celebrating with? Is there anything that I'm missing? That is a lesson you can learn from this Bechor Shor on why Mila is on the 8th day. Again, because it gives the woman the opportunity to become pure so that she and her husband can celebrate with everyone else. Or Chaim HaKadosh has another idea as to why Mila is on the 8th day. Another fascinating idea from the Or HaChaim. Says the Or HaChaim, first quotes the Medrash. Razal Amru, Lama Tinog, why does a baby get a Mila on the 8th day? Shekona Hashem rachamim alav ad shiyeh bo koach. Very interesting. Hashem had mercy on him that he should acquire strength before having his circumcision. Ukishem shirachamav ala adam, kach rachamav ala behema. And he has both compassion on humans and animals. Shenem arviyom hashmi vahala. Yeratzeh. That it's only on the eighth day that you bring a carbon from a newborn animal. There is such a thing as a bechor. You bring the firstborn animals to the Kohen. When do you do that? On the eighth day, Hashem has mercy on the animal. It's a very strange Midrash, both in terms of its notion that Hashem is having mercy on the baby. I don't think the baby knows the difference. And number two, how is this being merciful? Where is the strength coming from? You wait till the eighth day, the baby's so strong on the eighth day, it's so much stronger. I don't know. 8-day-olds are still little infants. How does it help to have the baby on the eighth day? Question of the Or HaChaim. Says the Or HaChaim, "Tzarich l'das mi gilo sodzeh ki beches yamim yeh bo koach l'pachos l'yoser." Who revealed the secret that specifically on the eighth day he'll have additional strength and no more, no less? Where does this strength come from? Listen to the idea of the Or HaChaim v'nira. Or HaChaim quotes the Zohar to explain this medrash. You know what happens if you wait till the eighth day? It guarantees that the child, whether human or animal, has experienced a Shabbos in this world. They have had 7 days, which guarantees at least one Shabbos. And that gives a certain spiritual strength. Maybe we're not even always sensitive to it, but on Shabbos, we get a Nefesh Achiyunis, a soul of life, a Neshama Yisera. And that is the impact that we are waiting for the child to experience before giving it a Mila, a special strength. V'aziyah ben Kayama, then he'll be a living child. So a beautiful idea. The power of Shabbos, says the Or HaChaim, we wait until day 8 to guarantee the child experiences at least one Shabbos. Shabbos gives us a certain spiritual strength, even if we're not necessarily cognizant of it, even if it's for children, even if it's for animals, suggests the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. That is why we wait until the 8th day, both for the Bechor, a Behema, and for the human child. Beautiful idea. So two ideas about why Mila is specifically on the eighth day from the Bechor Shor and from the Or HaChaim. The second part of our Parsha, which is a much longer, more involved discussion, is the discussion of Tzara'as. Tzara'as, of course, is a certain skin defect that we don't necessarily have nowadays. But the Torah prescribes a very lengthy process of investigating, number one, whether or not the person's skin defect is actually tzara'as. The Kohen goes and investigates and looks for signs of impurity, siman tuma. And then if they do have tzara'as, describes the behavior that they have to engage in. So a big discussion as to where this skin defect comes from. Whether it is some sort of natural sickness with a therefore physical manifestation in the skin, or it's not a sick physical sickness at all. It is a spiritual sickness. It comes from a spiritual defect. Someone has something they're doing wrong. They've committed some sort of sin, or they have some sort of character trait that they need to correct, and to show them that they are struck with a skin defect in the form of tzara'as. Either way, the question is what this word is, the word tzara'as or the word mitzora. And the Kli Yakar has an interesting thought in this regard. It says the Kli Yakar in source 6, Se'eso sapachas obaharas. He says, there's different opinions as to what the nature of tzara'as is. Some say it is an actual physical sickness that is hidden in the body and ultimately expresses itself externally. Some say no, it's a punishment. To reveal the hidden evil inside a person. Uvenkach uvenkach. Either way, whether it's physical or purely spiritual, says the Kiyakar, nirali lafarish, lutzon mitzora, the language, the etymology of the word mitzora, which is the word for someone who has saras, shehi mila merkeves. It is a combination of two words, motzi ra. Mitzora, motzi ra, to bring out the evil. Shemegala umotzi lachutz kol ra'aso shebekirbo. That it reveals and brings out to the outside all the evil on the inside. Hena ipashap nimi, whether it is the physical decay that is internal. Hen imumaka reu beseser b'shut lashona, or whether he struck his friend in concealment with his language, hinting to the idea that one of the primary reasons a person, according to Chazal, would receive the punishment of Taras is for the sin of lashon hara, for evil speech. Ve'ena brios yodin li shamer mimenu. And people don't know how to be careful from such a person. Akin HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefar sim al-chanefin u'motzi kol ra'as l'chutz k'dei shetekalu ra'as obakal. So the Kli Yakar therefore says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicizes this internal defect, whether spiritual or physical, and brings it on the outside, makes it visible publicly, so that everyone will know to be careful and to stay away from such a person. And not to be influenced, whether not to catch the disease or not to be influenced negatively. So the Kli Yakar is telling us, Motzira, that Mitzora comes to where bringing out the evil, and the reason God wants to bring out and make this defect known is for the public, so that they won't be infected or negatively influenced. Sfas Emes has a different take on why it needs to be public. Share with you outside. Sfas Emes asks the following question. The Kohen is the one who has to deal with the Tzara'as, both to make him Tahor and to make it Tameh. Says Sfas Emes, look, I understand why the Kohen is the one who declares that the Mitzora is Tahor, that the Mitzora is impure. That's understandable. That's a pretty good job. And the Kohen is supposed to be a Rodef Shalom, someone who seeks the peace. This person disrupted the peace by slandering other people. So it's the Kohen who can cure them and make them pure. But why is the Kohen that one that makes them impure? That seems not fair. Why are we getting the Kohen involved in such a negative job? Says the Sfas Emes, no. Because another aspect of the Mitzora is positive for the person themselves. Meaning to say, if a person has a spiritual or even physical defect and it's hidden, that's bad. They might not be aware of it. They might be in denial of it. They might not come to grips with the corrections they need to make in their life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mefarshim will talk about how this is one of the reasons why we don't have Tzara'as. Because in a sense, it's a chesed. It's a kindness from God to strike someone with Tzara'as. A person has something wrong with them, and God makes it apparent so that you can't ignore it. You have to look at the problem in the face and say, I have a blemish. I have to become pure. So taking that internal defect and making it visible indeed can be a positive thing, because it causes a person to come to grips with their reality. And that's why the Sfas Emes says the Kohen is also involved in declaring the person impure, because that's ultimately what helps them. Sometimes looking at the defect, needing to for it to be visible to us, is the cure that we need, so that we can no longer ignore the problems that we have to correct. So that's the Kli Yakar's perspective on Mitzora Motzi Ra, taking an internal problem and making it visible, both for the public and for the person themselves. I'll leave you with one last idea on Saras on the Meshech Chachma. We'll read it outside. The Torah tells us there are different, various different types of Saras. It's very complicated. You can get it in a burn. You can get it in a wound. You can, and one type of saras, the Torah says, the ish ki yimaret rosho. If a person's has a bald spot on their head, their a part of their head is cleared from hair, and in that bald spot there is a skin defect. That's also a form of tsaras. They can become impure. The Meshech Chochma is intrigued both by this specific type of tsaras, meaning to say a skin defect of tsaras in the location of where the hair is normally located on a person's head, and then specifically with the language of the pasuk, ve'ish ki yemaret rosho. And a person, if their head it becomes bald, what is the emphasis on ve'ish? It should say ki yemaret rosh ish. It doesn't have to say ve'ish first. So the Meshech Chochma says that there are different types of tsaras. There are different types of spiritual defects. A person can have done something wrong. A person can have a character trait they need to correct. But a person can also have what he calls deos mishubashos, opinions that are off, a philosophy that's off. And that might sometimes be the most difficult sort of problem. Because if a person does something wrong, hopefully if they get on the right track, they can correct it. But if a person's mind is off, their outlook on life, their philosophy, their way they look at the world, their belief in God or their belief in the validity of Torah, if that's off, that's very hard to create or to correct because everything flows from that. And not only that, our ideas, our mind is what defines a person. It's what makes us unique. Therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, what sort of tsaras do you get when there's a bald spot on your head? That is the sort of tsaras that is for a problem in philosophy, an incorrect perspective, an incorrect outlook on life. That's why it's on your head, of course, where the location of the brain is. And that's why the Torah says, V'ish ki yimaret rosho. And a human, if their hair becomes bald, because this is your humanity at stake. If a person's outlook is wrong, that is a fundamental problem with what makes us human. It is ultimately our ability to think, to reason, and to have a clear outlook, which makes us the humans that we are. If that's the sort of flaw that you have, it's the ish ki yemaret rosho. When the human's hair is balded and they have to correct this sort of outlook, that's why the tsaras of the bald hair is phrased in this way. And the point is that the various ways that a person can get tsaras are reflections, ultimately, of the internal defect that they have, whether in regard to their outlook, to their character traits, or in terms of the bad habits that they have. And the Torah is giving us a way to correct those habits. So just to briefly summarize as we end, I always appreciate your participation. First, we spoke about the birth and the ritual impurity associated with childbirth. We talked about how Torah is also an act of creation. Therefore, there is a connection between the creation of man and how man is created last, and the laws governing humanity, how the laws, the Torah of Adam is also after the Torah of the Behemos and Chayos. We spoke about the eighth day, why we wait for the eighth day for Mila. The Bechor Shor had the idea of waiting for the mother and father to be able to be with one another, for the women to become pure again. And the Or HaChaim said it's because of the power of Shabbos that a child should get the power of experiencing at least one Shabbos before the Mila. We spoke about Motzi Ra, the idea of Tzaras, how sometimes the most important thing, if we have a problem, is for that problem to be visible, that we have to confront it. It is something that stares us in the face, and that is the first step toward a cure and a correction. And then we talked last just about one reflection of this about the Ish Ki Yemaret Rosho. There's a lot of different types of problems a person has, but one of the most central is a problem in thinking and outlook, the way we approach the world, because that is what defines us and will affect everything that we do. Therefore, it's Ve'ish. You want to be a person, make sure that you correct your opinions and your outlook, and that will enable you to correct all the other issues. I thank you, as always, for participating. Wish you a wonderful Shabbos. Thanks,
Thank you.
everybody.